We looked at last week from John chapter 14. We saw how in the first part of this chapter, Jesus is comforting the disciples with the reminder of God's love. He is comforting them with the reminder of God's gracious plan of salvation and redemption. And he comforted them with the reminder of God's desire to dwell with them. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Jesus invited the disciples to be strong in the faith, to continue to believe, and thus to come to the Father through him. Whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. He comforted them with this knowledge that they ought to have had already. He comforted them by reminding them to stick to what they knew and to continue to believe in it. But the disciples continued to doubt. They continued to be troubled. And Thomas expresses this in his question in verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Thomas in particular, and the disciples in general, failed to understand and failed to appreciate that Jesus was linking his own departure with the disciples' arrival in the mansions that were being prepared for them. Jesus was departing, not forever, that Jesus was departing to prepare that place for them. He was departing to go to the cross, to make secure their place in those heavenly mansions. Jesus' departure really ensured their ultimate arrival in those mansions. But the disciples could not grasp this. They were weak in faith. And so Thomas seems to have thought that Jesus was going to some other place on earth. And that's what seems to lie behind this rather plaintive question. Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? It is a question that speaks of a sense of loss. It is a question that speaks of confusion and doubt. We don't know what is going on. We are afraid. And this question really echoes a sort of universal human experience, a universal human confusion. Just as the disciples were feeling lost and confused and uncertain of the future, isn't it the case that all of us, at various points in our lives, also have this experience, also have this kind of feeling? There is a sense in which all of us are lost and are looking for a way. We are looking for a way to some place that is better than this. I think that's almost a universal human instinct. Wherever you go on earth, you find that people have the idea, the concept of something like heaven, something like paradise. It's an almost instinctive recognition that this life cannot be all that there is. There must be something better. There must be some perfect place. But as much as there is that recognition that such a place must exist, there is also the recognition that we are not worthy of it. Whatever heaven is, whatever the concept of heaven is that you find in these various places, there is also the recognition that we are not fit for heaven as we are now. We need a way to get there. And there are many different philosophies, many different religious systems that purport to teach us how to get to that better place. You're not ready for it yet. You're not worthy for it now. You're not fit for it. But if you do this, if you do that, then you can make yourselves worthy. Then you can find the way to get to that heaven. There is this universal recognition, this universal longing for a way to get to heaven. there is also this universal search for the truth. Truth in terms of a reliable source that can answer the deep questions of life. The meaning of life. The purpose of my existence. Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? What is life all about? What is the right way to live? People all over are looking for the answers to these questions. Ultimately, it comes down to a search for the truth about God, our Creator. Is there a God, or is there not? If there is a God, who is He? What is He like? Ultimately, all the deep questions of life come down to that. Because if we can answer the question, is there a God, or who is He? Then from that flow the answers to how we are to live. If there is a God, then He made us. And if He made us, then the meaning of life is to be found in Him, His character, His purpose, His revelation. And so again, you have all these religious systems that seem or purport to answer this question about God and about the meaning of life. Even atheism is such a system. The assertion that there is no God, and that has implications for how we are to live. If there is no God, then there is no ultimate purpose and no ultimate meaning to life. And there are some who go the way of polytheism or pantheism. These are all systems that seek to define and give structure and meaning and purpose to life. There is this universal need for answers to these questions. What are the goals that I ought to have in life? What are the priorities that I ought to have in life? What should my hopes be? How should I live? We can't afford to answer, or we can't afford to ignore these questions, rather. And so there is this universal sense of confusion until these questions are answered. We are at a loss for how to live, and we want those questions to be answered. We don't want to live in the darkness of doubt and confusion and uncertainty. We want to know for sure what life is about. We want to know for sure that we are living in the right way. I remember once when I was young, going on holiday with my family. My parents took us, my sister and I, to Hawaii. We'd never been there before. One of the things we heard about Hawaii is that there are volcanoes there. Of course, being young children, we wanted to see the volcanoes. And we had images in our minds that we would drive right up to the volcano, and then we would see it exploding and see all the lava coming out. That's what we were thinking as little children, of course, with a very fanciful kind of imagination. So we decided to go and find these volcanoes. We went to Volcano National Park in Hawaii. And of course, as our first time, we didn't really know what to expect. So my dad rented a car, and then we drove down there. But we got the time wrong. We didn't realize it would get dark so soon. And as we were driving into the park, it was already getting dark. So we thought, okay, at least maybe we can see one volcano or something. We can see something at least before we have to turn around. But only as we got quite deep into the park, we realized that it doesn't work like that. The road doesn't go right up to the volcano. You have to park your car and then walk some distance before you can see anything. And so we were stuck because it's all dark. And apart from our headlights, there were no street lights along the road. There were no lights anywhere. We were stuck in the middle of the park, and we didn't know the way out. As I recall, there weren't even any street signs. It's just a road illumined by the headlights, and everywhere else is darkness. And so we are in this park, trying to find our way out. With no map, no direction, we were lost. And I remember as I sat in the back of the car, I turned around to look behind me. and I saw a whole string of headlights behind us, a whole string of cars following us. And I thought to myself, all these people are lost. They're following us because they think we know the way out. But we don't know the way out. We're lost too. So there was this whole caravan of people trying to get out of the park. Eventually we did get out. But I mentioned this to illustrate the point that we don't want to live like that. We don't want to live surrounded by darkness, not knowing where we are going, not knowing if we are going the right way, not knowing what we are supposed to be doing, which turn we are supposed to take, which turn we are not supposed to take. Seeing only that little patch of road in front of us illumined by the headlights, and everything else is darkness. We don't want to live like that. We want to know the truth. What is life all about? Where did I come from? What am I doing here? Where am I going? We want the whole scene to be illumined. We want to know the truth. That is a universal human longing. It's a universal instinct. It's not something that only Christians want. It's something that all of us want. All of us want to know the way to that better place. All of us want to know the truth about how we ought to live now. And all of us are looking for life. That is spiritual life. Spiritual life in the sense of righteousness, peaceful communion with God, the knowledge that I am right with my Creator. This again is something universal, to varying degrees, to be sure, but the spark of it is present everywhere. We want spiritual life. Because we see evidence all around us of spiritual corruption. We see evidence of our deadness in sin. We see the evil and wicked deeds all around in the world. These are things that are widely condemned, and yet they continue to be perpetrated. We recognize that even our own thoughts and impulses are corrupt. All of us know you don't need to teach a child to lie. You don't need to teach a child to get angry or to be violent. We all know that these things are wrong, and yet there they are, innately in the child, without the need for us to teach any bad things. All the badness is present already in the child. And this doesn't go away even as we grow up. Those evil and wicked impulses and desires and feelings and thoughts continue. And so even as adults, we keep on doing things that we know are wrong. Before we did them, we knew they were wrong. While we were doing them, we knew they were wrong. After we had done them, we knew they were wrong. And yet we keep on doing these things that we know to be wrong. So we have this guilt. We have a conscience, which Scripture tells us is part of God's grace. A conscience imparted to us to remind us that we have fallen short of His glory. We are corrupt. We are dead in our sins. We are deserving of judgment. And so we yearn for life. We yearn for peace with God. So in a way, when Thomas asks this question, he is somehow tapping into and reflecting this general sense of lostness, this general sense of confusion that is common to all of us. And so when Jesus answers Thomas's question, Jesus is speaking also to those universal human needs. And Jesus answers the question by pointing to himself. He points to himself as the solution to all these problems. He points to himself as the answer to all these fundamental longings that we as humans have. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is the answer. This is a personal claim. Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus does not answer Thomas. Jesus does not answer us by pointing to anyone or anything else. Jesus did not say, I know the way. Jesus did not say, I came to show you the way. Jesus says, I am the way. There is no one else. There is nothing else but me. I am the way. The solution to these longings of the human heart is a person, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you want to know the way, if you want to know the truth, if you want to know the life, if you want to have the way, the truth, and the life, you must know Jesus. You must have Him, a personal relationship with Him as Lord and as Savior. That's the answer. It's not a formula. It's not a ritual. It's not a philosophy. It's a person. I am the way. Not I know the way. But I am the way. This is a personal claim. It is also an exclusive claim. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, He means I am the only way, the only truth, the only light. Jesus did not point to Himself as one option among many. He did not say, I am one of the ways. There are others. I am one of them. He did not say, I am the best way or the easiest way. He said, I am the only way, the only truth, the only life. There is only one way to those heavenly mansions that are being prepared. Jesus says, I am that way. There is only one source of truth. Jesus said in verse 2, if it were not so, I would have told you. There is no other source of truth. If you want to know about God, if you want to know the truth about yourself and your life, you must know Jesus Christ. No one else can reveal the Father to us but Jesus. There is no other means to have life, not by our own strength, not by our own ability, because all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before God, and not anyone else to whom we can turn. We can put our trust in no one else. Because Jesus said, I am the only way, the only truth, the only life. There is no one else but Jesus. This is an amazing claim that Jesus is making. All the needs of humanity are answered by one man, Jesus Christ. All the problems of life are solved by this one mediator, Jesus Christ. He is the center of everything. If you don't know Him, then you have nothing at all. But if you know Him, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then you have everything. How is this claim fulfilled? How can we say that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life? How can everyone else be wrong and Jesus Christ be right? Jesus is the only way because of His unique role as the one mediator between God and man. Paul tells us there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Because there is only one mediator, there is only one way for men to come to God. There is only one way for sinners to get to heaven. Jesus is that way, and that He is always and forever that bridge by which man can be reconciled to God, and through which man reaches down to God to lift us up to Himself. Remember, we need a way because we have been separated from God. We have been separated from heaven by our sins. Jesus is the only way, because it is only in Him that our sins can be dealt with. It is only Jesus as the perfect mediator, the perfect representative of fallen humanity, fully God and fully man. Only He can take our sins on Himself and pay the penalty for them in full. Only He can impute to us a perfect righteousness. It's only in Him that we can be justified before God. So only Jesus can prepare a place for us. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." And there's no one else who can do that. No one else can prepare a place for us to be with God in heaven. Any other way but Jesus would involve us having to pay the penalty for our own sins. And that is eternal condemnation. That penalty will never finish being paid. It is an infinite crime that we have committed in rebelling against the infinite and eternal God. So there is only one way. There is no other way but Jesus. That's why Jesus is the only way. Then again, Jesus is the only truth because of His unique revelation of God to man. As we said last time, John chapter 1 and verse 18, we read, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." No one else has come down from God. No one else has come down from heaven to earth. No one else is closer to God than Jesus Christ, closer to the Father than His only begotten Son. No one else can reveal God to us as Jesus Christ can and has. There is no other truth but Jesus Himself. Everything that came before pointed to Him. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 24. After His resurrection, when He spoke to the disciples, Luke chapter 24, verse 27. "Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself." All the prior revelation of Scripture centered on Christ and pointed to Christ. This is the Word of Christ. He is the center of this truth. He is the center of this self-revelation of God. Everything that came before pointed to Him. Everything that comes after points back to Him. So that now in preaching the gospel, we are preaching Christ and Him crucified. Because He is the truth. He is the perfect revelation of God. There is no other way to know this truth except to know Jesus Christ Himself. And of course, Jesus is the only life because He is the only Savior. He is the one who came to give life to the dead. This is what He Himself said in John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 25. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Then again in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Jesus is the only life. Because only He came and gave His life that we might live. Only He can bring us into that communion with God, which is what eternal life is all about. Again, John chapter 17, verse 3. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only truth. Jesus is the only life. All of this implies that without Christ, we are forever lost. We never have the way without Christ. Without Christ, we are forever ignorant. We are without the truth if we are without Christ. Without Christ, we are forever dead. We are without spiritual and eternal life if we are without Christ. And we are all these things. We are lost, we are ignorant, we are dead. Because without Christ, we are separated from God. And in order to have these things, the way, the truth, the life, we have to be reconciled with God through Jesus Christ. This is really the central problem of humanity. It is godlessness. The problem with all of us is that we are without God. We are separated from God. This is what Paul makes very clear in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That is the problem of mankind. All that we see around us, the depravity, the immorality, the confusion, the falsehood, the spiritual death and decay, all of these are symptoms of this separation from God. And that is why all the problems of humanity are solved in this one way, truth and life, in this one man who is at the same time fully God, in this one mediator and redeemer and savior, Jesus Christ. Because the way for our problems to be solved, the way for our sins to be forgiven, the way for our eternity to be assured is for us to come to the Father through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is the condition of your soul and my soul without Christ. This is the condition of all those who are around us without Christ. And this is the great impetus of Christian mission, even of our own evangelism. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is why we preach the gospel. Because there is no other way but Jesus. Because without Christ, all who are without Christ are lost and in darkness and dead in their sin. And Jesus says this to the disciples here, I believe, first of all, because they need to know it for themselves, fully and truly. So he includes in verse 7 this gentle rebuke. If you had truly known me, that is, if you had fully imbibed all that I had already taught you, you would have known the Father also. You would understand. You would not be lost. You would not be doubting. you would not be confused. The disciples needed to hear this. They needed to grasp Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life in all his fullness. Because they will need to carry this message to others. They will need to go to the ends of the earth to preach that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. When they grasp Him as He is revealed, as He reveals Himself in His Word, then they will have comfort from all their troubles. Their hearts will no longer be troubled. And then they will be able to comfort others also. Then they will be able to go to the lost and say, I found the way. It is Jesus Christ. They will be able to go to the deceived and say, I found the truth. It is Jesus Christ. And they will be able to go to the dead and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you can have life. I was once like you, dead in my sins. I was lost and confused. I did not know anything about life. But I found the way, the truth, and the life. I found Jesus Christ. I found the answer in Him. And you can have that too. That's what we need to preach as well. That's the message that is entrusted to us. The world is full of its counterfeits. The world tells us, you don't need a way. You can have heaven on earth. The world tells us you don't need the truth. You can make your own. The world tells us you don't need spiritual life. Just indulge in carnal pleasures. But where will that end? That's the counterfeit way of the world. That is the broad way that leads to destruction. Jesus says there are many who go that way. There are many who are now walking on that broad way. They need to be told. And we need to make sure that we are not joining them. We need to make sure that we are not ensnared by these counterfeits. We need to make sure that we know the only way, the only truth, the only life. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know Him as Lord and Savior? Do you have a personal relationship with Him by faith in the Gospel? Do you know Him as the only way, the only truth, the only life? And have you told those around you? Have you declared to them this truth? Because they need to know it too. Let us pray.